little kid at a sitting in a chair at a table that's too big. There we go. That's a little better. Okay, so most of you are saying, what's going on here with you again? Let me tell you about laundry and stairs. Now, I need to preface this by saying, you know, last week I spent some time telling you some things that had happened in and through my life, God speaking, and I admitted that most of what I was going to tell you that day made me look good. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, bring some dessert over. Put it there, too. Well, this is one of these stories that makes me look stupid. My wife was, from our back bedroom down the hallway, headed toward the stairs, was dragging a laundry basket that was way overfilled with clothes. She couldn't lift it, so she was dragging it. So being the gentleman that I am, and just not running away, let me get that for you. So I'm standing at the top of the stairs, and I cannot see. I cannot see. Now, I don't want to get to, I told you last week about how that when I was mowing the lawn, I heard a loud stop, let go, stop from mowing. Okay, this was not that strong. This would be what many theologians would call inward witness, just speaking to you. Stop. At the top of the stairs, just count the steps. Okay, well, I've done that before. I know that I need to count them down so that I know when I'm down to the bottom when you can't see. So far, so good. Counting my steps, going down. Well, I get to about 10, and I really don't remember what happened after that. I know what I did. I either turned to ask a question or say something, answer somebody upstairs. I don't know, but I turned just slightly because there's not much room on our stairwell, and I lift up this foot to come down, and then this ankle rolled on me. Big snap, and I'm tumbling down the rest of the stairs. So if I just would have finished listening, I wouldn't have spent several hours at the ER, and I wouldn't be hobbling around today. Now, the good news is God is merciful. I have sprained both of my ankles many, many times, particularly back in high school, played basketball. It was even taped up. I could still sprain ankles. My right one got so bad that my foot was just hanging this way. Orthopedic surgeon said the ligaments and the tendons on the outside here have been stretched out so many times. So what he did was he put it in a cast and jacked it up like that, hoping that it would heal up. I've never sprained this ankle since then. This sucker over here is a different story. But I hadn't sprained it in 20 years. I mean, you really have to most of the time be doing something in order to twist an ankle. So, you know, again, there are consequences for not listening to what you know you're sensing on the inside. Some people call it their conscience, their intuition, whatever it is, but I know that God speaks to people. Anyway, I'm going to finish up this little mini-series in the middle of a larger picture. We're talking about faith, foolishness, wisdom. Is it faith? Is it foolishness? Is it wisdom? And whose wisdom are we looking at? There's a worldly wisdom. There's a godly wisdom. And we're looking at this in the light of hearing God's voice. But I know some of you may be asking, why are we looking at these things in that light? Because, I believe that we need to hear God. And not only just from Scripture. Yes, that's the foundation for it, and that's the way, the criteria that we judge anything else. But God wants to speak directly to you about your life. But why are we looking at these things from this angle? Well, read with me here for a few minutes, a couple minutes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul, by the Spirit of God, writes, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." Now, I hold to rapture. There's a time when the Lord will appear in the air, as 1 Thessalonians 4 says. The dead in Christ will rise, and we will arise to meet him in the air. We'll be gathered to him. He says that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Now, I want to stop right there just for a moment to explain. The day of the Lord is specific terminology in Scripture. It gets kicked around and used for everything. The day of the Lord has been used talking about the rapture. It's not. It's been used, it's more closely to the second coming of the Lord. But the day of the Lord, the Old Testament prophets are clear. I mean, ancient Israel, even today, we're looking forward to the day of the Lord. And all the Old Testament prophets came along, what are you talking about? The day of the Lord is a dreadful, terrible day that's going to come upon the whole earth. It's not something you should be excited about. In other words, things were getting intense in these ancient times, just like many people see things becoming very intense in these days. Are we in the tribulation? Are we headed toward that last period of time when, so many horrific things begin to take place? Paul says, don't be quickly shaken to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Now, this is where we're going. This is the heart of where we're going for the next several weeks. Is the thing is, I get concerned when whatever's going on in the world around us, that believers get soon shaken, they lose their composure, they get freaked out by whatever legislation, whatever laws are passed, whatever is allowed, whatever door is opened. Not that these things we should just care nothing for and that we shouldn't take a stand against, but you understand, you and me, we are what's restraining the full measure of wickedness that the Scriptures talk to, this mystery of wickedness, lawlessness that's going to take place. Now, some people say, no, Pastor, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, no, because we're going to see from other scriptures, there's never been a time that the Holy Spirit has not been active in the earth. And once the church is gone, people will be saved during the time of the tribulation. That can't happen without the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to say it's the work of the Holy Spirit within the church, okay. But there's going to come a point when we won't be here. The church will be gone. And it's not like these old movies that they produced in the 70s and 80s where you have newscasters and people wondering, where did they go? Are you kidding? They're going to look around and find out real quick that it's only these people of faith, believers in Jesus Christ, that are gone. And they're going to say, good riddance. Because they know what's restraining them. Bush II. In his second term, that election, there were a lot of faith-based initiatives on a lot of state ballots. Let's put it this way. And it brought out a lot of the conservative Christian faith-based vote, and he ended up winning. And believe me, those on the left, and I'm not saying everybody on the left is a bad, evil, wicked person, but those people who are took note of that. And we've had a big target on our back ever since. Nonetheless, we have a restraining work to do. It's like salt in your food. It doesn't just stay those little granules. It begins to spread out and infect all the food, right? Okay, that's what we're to do in this world, salt and light. So that's what we've got to focus on being instead of running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Okay, God is still God. He's still our provider. We've got a mission to do. Let's get focused. Verse 8, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearing of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness. But notice the deception is primarily going to infect or impact those who perish, those outside of Christ. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Now, you can see this rising in our culture right now, that there is no truth. And don't tell me about truth. That may be your truth, but it's not truth. And people just rejecting any kind of reasonableness in our society. They don't want to hear it. These people are not going to get better. That's why I've been telling you, look around for the low-hanging fruit before it is no longer, those people are no longer low-hanging fruit. Some people, you're casting your pearls before swine. Lord, help us all to identify them, be polite, be kind, because not giving up totally on everybody, but I'm not going to put a lot of time and resources in people who are just fanatical and they're gone. I mean, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Wickedness, the destruction, all the stuff we see going on now is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, you say, well, why would God do that? It's the same thing that happened with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, back when the children of Israel were there. He hardened. God came to him. Moses said, let my people go. God says, there's going to be big trouble. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Multiple times, he hardened his own heart. Then it got to the point then that it says God hardened his heart. In other words, Pharaoh chose the direction he was going to go. And God said, fine, if you're going to go that way, let's take it all the way to the end and see what happens to you and your people. These people will have chosen the direction they're going to go. And God says, okay, this is the way you want to go. Let's carry it to the end. Verse 13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter, epistle from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and a good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in our unto, we could say, every good work and word. In other words, in spite of all this stuff that we're going to know about, and we are. If you don't know it, we're about to get into it in the coming weeks. We've got a good work and a good word that we need to be ministering. So this is where we're headed. This is kind of an overview, but we need to be able to hear God specifically. Because there are people, like it says, that will not be reached. They want to believe a lie. They refuse. They just flat out reject truth. No matter what kind of evidence there might be. And, you know, I don't know when those people have reached a quote-unquote point of no return, but the Lord does. And if you're supposed to just, okay, just back off and move on, the Lord will make that known. If you're to continue with them, then the Lord will speak to you that. Okay, well, let's continue looking at faith, foolishness, or wisdom. Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Think of trash as not just, I mean, all of us for trash, it's something that's worthless. But how many of you know one man's trash is another man's treasure? Okay? So think of it more, some people, they feed on things that are not worthless, they are just worth less than something else. Worthless. Now, easy place to start and pick on, the 24-hour news cycle will always portray everything that they're showing as important. And I'm here to tell you, it's not all that important. You can go weeks without watching the news and you'll survive. But you can't go a few days without hearing from God's truth and continue to grow in Jesus Christ. Let me show you what happens. You know, we're all familiar with what's referred to as the 12 tribes of Israel, named after the sons of Israel, all 12 of them, except you'll never find in Scripture a tribe of Joseph, his youngest son. Why is that? Because Joseph is found in his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's why you'll find them in Scripture referred to as the half-tribe of Ephraim, the half-tribe of Manasseh. Together, they make up a whole share in the inheritance. That's Joseph's descendants. But through as time passed, all these people went astray. But I want you to notice what it says, particularly about Ephraim. In Hosea chapter 5, verse 11, it says, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment. His ability to discern, to distinguish, to make right decisions, to judge things correctly, assess things rightly, it's broken. Why? Because he chose, he willingly walked, lived his life by human precept. He rejected God's wisdom and says, I'm going to live my life simply by my five senses and what the prevailing attitudes and thinking in the world is today. And it says, as a result, he became oppressed. Keep an eye on it if you haven't already taken those people today, even in our culture, are struggling. And what's been percolating on the inside is about to explode to the outside. And I'm just talking about just average, ordinary people, not necessarily with a grind of any kind of a political or economic or any kind of an axe to grind. They're watching too much trash. And they're getting all tied up in knots. So we've got the psychiatric medicines on the increase, things to calm people down. It's not good. We need to hear from God. In fact, Jesus said when he was being tempted by Satan, to turn stones into bread, he answered, said, it is written, man shall not live by natural things, bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are you hearing God speak? I want us to tune our ears to be able to hear the Lord more. So what do we need to do? Well, Paul again said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 7, he says, exercise. The doctor came into the ER several times, and she's given me some, her last visit in there, and she says, well, do you work out much? I said, doctor, do I look like I work out? She laughed. She says, well, you're not the morbidly obese that we normally see in here. Okay. Anyway, exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. Okay, I can take a little profit. I need a little profit here. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise. Notice, godliness has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, you listen to some churches, some ministers, and they talk about godliness, and it's all pie in the sky. It's all for some time later. It's, you know, you need to develop character now so that you'll have it in heaven. I don't think there's too many people of bad character in heaven. Just saying. Fruit of the Spirit is, well, we need it now. The people around us need it now. Because your bad character affects everybody around you, right? So, anyway, the life that now is, I'm telling you, there's benefit to pursuing godlikeness, godliness. There are three direct ways that God speaks to us, at least three that I'm going to focus on. There are a lot of indirect ways that God speaks to us. Psalm 19 talks about that all of creation speaks. And there are people now that are not born-again Christians, just secular people, even in the science community, that look at the universe and say, no, this just did not happen. Now, they're like in any other field, they're wanting to be ostracized, kicked out, destroyed, because they're not toting the company line, the spirit of the age, the wisdom of the age. But signs and wonders, there's indirect ways that God speaks to people, but there's three primary ways that we're going to focus on that God speaks to us. Number one, God speaks to us through his word, the scripture. He speaks through other believers. God will use other people to speak into your life. And he speaks to us by the life of Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1, beginning verse 1, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, notice this, in many portions and in many ways. God spoke a lot of different ways through a lot of different means. I got news for you. He still does. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son. This is the final revelation. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of the glory and the exact representation. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father's nature. In other words, he's the mint impression. It's why Jesus could tell his disciples, to see me is to see the Father. And this is why we always bring everything back to Jesus. People say, well, God did this to me and God allowed them, blah, blah, and I just go to Scripture. Did Jesus ever do anything like that, even close, even in the same ballpark? No. Okay, I'm sorry. God didn't do that. Because to see me is to see the Father, Jesus said. You want to know about my Father? Look at me. I only do the things my Father shows and tells me to do. I only say the things that my Father tells me to say. Always bring it back to Jesus. This is what this passage is. These last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, Jesus. And he is the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of his nature, his character, his likeness, his attitudes, everything. And upholds all things by the power of his word. When he had made purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus is the living word. And as the living word, he speaks. Words communicate. Jesus had an encounter with people in his day in John chapter 10. Look with me in verse 24. He says, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. That's rich. Jesus answered them, I told you. Jesus already told them many times. And you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Read that with me. My sheep, come on, let's try it again. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Jesus is speaking. Are we listening? See, when you consistently take the Word of God into your mind, you are tuning. You're tuning your heart and mind to God's voice. And as you do that again and again, before long, you'll begin to respond to life circumstances the way that God would have you respond to them, the way that He would. You don't always have to hear something. There's being led by the Spirit. Just, no, this is the thing that I believe that I need to do. We'll explain it. Can't. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I can. But I just know this is what I need to do. So, again, let me just quickly trace it back to prayer just for a moment. Because the highest form of prayer is not talking. It's listening. Make time to listen. We need to hear what God has to say more than he needs to hear what we have to say. So, as I mentioned last week, when you come to Scripture, time of prayer and reading, no matter if it's a lot or a little, that's not the point. You just read slowly, take your time until he speaks to you. Read until he speaks. Then I encourage you, write it down in a notebook, what you're hearing from God in his word. You think, oh, I'll remember this. Yeah. What's the old saying? The weakest ink is more powerful than the strongest memory. There's things I thought I'd never forget, and guess what? I'd tell you what they were, but I forgot them. So some little helps when you are reading Scripture, because some people, it's just black words on a white page. But if you begin to search, that means you're beginning to look for something. So things to look for in reading God's Word. Number one, look for commands to obey. God doesn't have to tell you to be a good husband or a good wife. That the Scripture tells you that. You don't need a word from God. God confirmed? No. You don't need God to tell you, don't lie, don't steal. That's in the Word. Just look for things that, oh, wow, I can't tell you how many times I've been reading. Man, I haven't been doing that. I'd better change. That change is called repentance. I'm repenting. I'm changing my ways. I used to do this. I didn't know. I read it here. Oh, better stop that. Or I haven't been doing that. I'd better start doing that. Commands to obey. Lessons to learn. The New Testament twice tells us that the things written in the Old Testament are there for examples for us. They did this, and it blew up in their face. Oh, okay, Phil, don't do that. They did this. Hey, it worked out well. Okay, I'll do that. That's what those things are. You know, why is it, you know, you think, somebody, I mean, you know, people still hold to worldly wisdom that says experience is the best teacher. And that's only a half truth. Experience is the best teacher, but it doesn't have to be your experience. I can watch somebody lower their head, run into the wall, boom, knock themselves out, get up. I thought my head was hard, but the wall's harder. I can say, I'm not going to do that. I learned from his experience that that hurts. I don't have to experience it. I saw what it would happen. Learn from other people's experiences, okay? There are promises in Scripture to be enjoyed. Find the promises of God. Underline them in your Bible. You say, I don't mark in my Bible. Well, then go get you a cheapy Bible that you can mark in. That's the deal for you. Underline those things. Promises to be joined. And then you're looking for Jesus. You want to see Jesus because I'm telling you, he's there in every book of the Bible. He's to be found. Now, there are people who abuse and misuse God's word. There's no doubt about that. It happened in ancient times. It happens today. But let's read about it. One instance in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 15. Peter says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. In other words, why doesn't God just come and get us out of here now? Because salvation is at work. You ministering the good news of his salvation to people around you, okay? Just as our beloved brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, notice this, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction. Now, there's people who do this ignorantly, and there are people who do this intentionally. And unfortunately, in more and more churches, you're finding people who twist Scripture intentionally. It says, as they do other Scriptures, just not Paul's writing. Some people question, well, is the New Testament epistles, is that really Scripture? Peter seemed to think so. He's writing by the Holy Spirit. He says right here, they twist to their own, the things that Paul wrote, to their own destruction, as they do other Scripture. Meaning what? He's equating Paul's epistles as Scripture. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, when you know something's up, he says, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. You know, there's not only people who abuse and misuse Scripture. There are people who think that God talks to them every few minutes. But if you listen to them and it didn't take long, you find out that what they seem to think that God is speaking to them is confused and it's contradictory. God doesn't tell you, do this 1 hour, oh, next hour, oh, no, don't do that, do this now. God's not schizophrenic. Anyway, as I said last time, you know, beware of people who think they're hearing from God every moment of the day, because they're not. I don't know if we'll get into that much another time or not, but it needs unpacking, I'm sure. But in spite of misuses and abuses, God does speak. And we need to get over our fear of hearing wrongly or missing God. We need to step out. Because there's sometimes we're all going to miss it, and we're going to be carrying laundry down the stairs, and we know we should be counting our steps, and we're going to fall. And you learn. I won't be making that mistake anytime soon. Not again. You know, it's annoying to hear respected evangelical leaders attack anyone in the body of Christ, another church, who says, the Lord spoke to me. It's an attempt to debunk the idea that God speaks to personally to people anymore. Some people say that God only speaks through the Bible. The problem with that is that when you look at the Bible, Scripture, it reveals the many ways that God has chosen to communicate to people, especially His own. Yes, God's Word is absolute authority over everything else. No doubt about that. So, what place does God's Word give to God's voice? And what place will we give God's voice in our lives? According to God's Word, He's always reaching out and willing to speak to people if they'll but listen. Always seeking to embrace us and to envelop us. And yes, to bring teaching to us so that we know things, understand things, and bring correction when we need it. Seeing these ways God speaks, however, only reminds us again of the Bible's authority in every facet of judgment on this issue. In other words, we are to judge what we perceive God says in light of the whole Bible. In other words, God's not going to tell you something that's going to contradict what He said in Scripture. We reject any ideas of continuing revelation. No, we do not believe that the Book of Mormon is sacred. It is God's Word. The Quran, no. Final revelation came through Jesus Christ, the living Word. The Bible is the final authority concerning God's revealed will and truth. And by the way, let me just say this. You stop and think about it. It's actually, when they say that, you know, you saying you heard from God, well, that's extra biblical. No, it's not, because what God speaks to me is not authoritative for everybody else. Scripture is authoritative to me and you. That's the difference. But people want to confuse that. Let me just say, it is extra biblical to teach that God doesn't speak to His people today, since the Bible never says He stopped speaking. Evidenced by the current testimony of Muslims in Muslim countries that are giving testimony of how Jesus spoke to them in a dream and they became believers as a result. Don't tell me the Lord doesn't speak to people today. He sure does. Don't let other people try to tell you that it doesn't happen. It does. The Bible uses, the problem they get is because these theological eggheads, they lock themselves in such tightly fitting boxes. And how many of you know God's not going to stay in your box? But it's all wrapped up in this word revelation. And because revelation is what brought us Scripture, and they want to equate, when we say God, equate the revelation, the revealing of something that God speaks to us, they want to try to make them equal, but it's not. It never has been in Scripture. It's used in more than one way. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, basically, the Apostle Paul is praying. If you go and read this, we're not going to look at it, but he says, I'm praying that you might, through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and he goes on to talk about, you may know these things, you may have these things, and see these things. Okay, to enlighten the hearts of believers. This indicates that God does reveal things to His people today. Such revelation, though, is never to be equated equal to the closed canon of the Scripture. Again, I just explained that. If it's for me, God telling me to count my steps, that doesn't mean, now all you need to count your steps. I don't care what you carry. Count your steps. The Lord said so. No, He said that to me in one particular instance. I only half obeyed. Okay, well, anyway, let me wrap up with this. Number one, the revelation of Scripture is final. There are not, nor will there ever be, any other books, verses, ideas to be added to the Bible or placed beside it as equal in authority or revelation. Number two, all preaching, teaching, prophesying, even if somebody by the Spirit of God says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't matter. Any other communication or revelation is subject to judgment by God's Word. I compare what people say in any of these things by the Word of God. Does it agree with the Word of God? So, let me just say in conclusion, settle it now, right now. God still speaks in all the ways He has always spoken, including His intimately speaking with His own sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. He'll speak to you about your life. And you know, it's people sometimes they're well intended. They try to downplay God speaking because, yeah, there have been nuts and quacks and all kinds of things. There's, Lord, which pair of pants should I wear today? Hear the word of the Lord. I don't care as long as you wear pants. Do not go outside the house without your pants on. Lord, where should I eat lunch today? I'm driving around. I only got 30 minutes left. McDonald's, Wendy's, Arby's. What's it to be, Lord? Listen, go eat lunch, whatever you're hungry for. But be open to the Spirit of God if He wants to tell you, don't go there today. I can tell you numbers of testimonies of people getting ready to take a trip. The Spirit of God spoke to them and said, wait 10 minutes before you leave. Some of them listened, and you never know what would have happened. That's the thing. But I can tell you of some of them that did not, and they were in horrific car accidents. And if they just would have waited 10 minutes, they would have been fine. And they know it. They know they miss God in that. Listen to those things. Don't get freaky. Let's all stand. I tell you what, you know, normally most of the service I stand from the time I walk out here until the end of the second service. But I'm going to still sit. Thank you. Father, I thank you that you do love us. And Lord, you've not gone mute. You still speak. Yes, we hear your voice when we read Scripture. We can hear your voice when we're around other believers. We hear your voice when we come to church because the Spirit of God meets with us. This is one of these corporate things, Lord, that you've designed so that we can readily hear your voice and be affirmed in the truth so that we don't become soon shaken or unstable in the direction of our life and our ability to make decisions. Lord, we move forward in the integrity of our heart, trusting, Lord, that you're going to correct us if we need correction, but we're always looking to Scripture to make sure we're walking in the light as you are in the light. Help our ears to become sensitive and our hearts responsive to your voice in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. I fully expect to be back to normal next week. Really, this has been miraculous. I've had many sprained ankles and one this bad. I've never been able to put any pressure on it for the first 48 hours. And this is great because I can. Yeah. We are your church.